Wow, thank you. That's special. And if we really understood that, we could go home now. I wouldn't have anything to do. Well, it's a pleasure to be back with you today. As we talked about how the service would unfold, I got the privilege of saying, well, do we do the meditation first or do we do it after? And I've always liked to do it after. So today, we're going to do it first. And I chose that for a very specific reason. I'd like to set the stage with our meditation to enter into an awareness of the rich life, the holy life that we live when we come from a consciousness of richness, of abundance. And so today's affirmation will be just, excuse me, today's meditation will be a little different. I'd like you to think of it as a string of pearls. Because what we're going to share is one prosperity affirmation after another. And if in the process one of them seems to strike you in a special way, that's your invitation to check out and not pay attention to anything else. So with that, let's take a moment now and just become still. In quietness and confidence is our strength. We recognize that we move, live, and have our being in truth. As we celebrate this month, prosperity and abundance, we give thanks that all channels of supply are open to us now. All channels of supply are open to us now. Power of gratitude opens each affirmation as we proclaim, I give thanks that the great energy of my thinking molds mind substance and all my needs are met. I give thanks that the great energy of my thinking molds mind substance and all my needs are met. I give thanks that I depend only on one source and my continuing good is assured. I give thanks that I depend on only one source and my continuing good is assured. I give thanks that my thoughts and words conform to the truth and God brings me through and lasting prosperity. I give thanks that my thoughts and words conform to the truth, and God brings me true and lasting prosperity. I give thanks that my money represents God's inexhaustible abundance. I give thanks that my money represents God's inexhaustible abundance. I give thanks that I recognize the infinite justice of the law of compensation. I give thanks that I recognize the infinite justice of the law of compensation. I give thanks that God has prepared a right place for me and His Spirit within me guides me to that place. I give thanks that God has prepared a right place for me and His Spirit within me guides me to that place. I give thanks that I am unified with the one living substance. I give thanks that I am unified with the one living substance. Now, in a moment of perfect silence, I invite you to allow these truths to take root in your consciousness and grow to full fruition.
quickly. Ever so gently. Allow your attention to return to this time and to this place. And do so with the sure realization that the gift of abundance has been given and is now received. For this, we give a heartfelt thanks in the name of the Christ. Happy Thanksgiving. Well, I mean, that makes sense after sharing the sense of gratitude that our meditation brought us. But since today's St. Patrick's Day, we better talk about that instead. And so that's what we'll do. And the simple fact here is I love stories. I love short stories. I love Bible stories. I love stage plays. I love movies. I love fairy tales, and I love myths from every culture. From every culture. One of the great myths of Ireland is the wonderful story that suggests if you can catch a leprechaun, he must give you the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And who isn't interested in that pot of gold? You ask most people whether a myth is true, they'll generally say, of course not. It's just a myth. It's important that we don't dismiss the myth and its power too quickly, because in every myth, in every story, there's an element of truth. The story, or the myth, is instructional in nature. It has a purpose, and that purpose is to reveal the truth. In Native American culture, there's a wonderful tradition of passing on wisdom from elders to children. So from their earliest days, children are told stories. Now, the elder in great wisdom will always say something like this. As he begins to tell the story, he'll say, "Now, I don't know if it happened just like this, but I know it's true." And so what he's asking the children to do is look beyond the simple words of the story to that truth that is underneath the story, that the story is designed to communicate. So the idea of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow communicates the truth that when the storms of life pass, when they pass, our desired good is revealed. It's the purpose of a rainbow. We tend to love rainbows. We see them after the storm, and we kind of rejoice in the beauty of the light and the color, and we kind of relax again and say, isn't that nice? And then on occasion, we see those double rainbows, and we go, wow. So, abundance is ours. That's what the story tells us. When we move beyond the challenge or the crisis or the difficulty, so when the storm passes, the rainbow appears and the pot of gold, our desired good, is made manifest to us. When I started, one of the things that I said is I love stories. And I kept saying I love this kind of story, this kind of story, this kind of story. And you know, we need to talk about the power of love in the process of bringing forth our good. Some of you who have been around for a very long time in terms of the Unity Movement will recognize the names Francis Gable and Carl Frankhauser. Francis Gable was a Unity field lecturer, and he was editor of one of the early magazines, and he would travel from church to church, from center to center, as a representative of Unity School. And he wrote a wonderful piece of poetry that later, Carl Frankhauser, who was the music director, put to music. And maybe some of you remember the tune, Love is a Magnet. I want to share it with you. I won't sing. That's a gift. That's a promise. I'll share the poetry portion of it, and it'll lead us down a path I think is really important. So this 12-line poem with the chorus
became the song Love is a Magnet. And it reads like this. Love is a magnet that draws to me riches and good without end, free and as full as the boundless sea, into my life they bend. Love of the Father abides in me, spreading its sweetness abroad, drawing to me in its current free all of the wealth of God. Love in itself is a priceless gift, opulent, freely expressed, nearer the Father the heart to lift. Richly by love I'm blessed. And then the chorus for these four line statements is this. Loving words, loving deeds spring from heart divine, bringing to me fullest need, making abundance mine. Now that word need is kind of rare. It's archaic, actually. We don't use it anymore. But it talks about a deserved share or reward. See, we don't need a reward for being something or doing something. As rich children of a loving Father, we're heir to a kingdom of good here and now. So the goal here, the focus, is to put into practice loving words, loving deeds that will draw to us, like a magnet, the good that we desire. I said when I started, I used the word love in reference to loving stories. And it's true. I deeply do appreciate them. But the fact is that the word love is so overused. You know, I can say in the same service that I love my wife and I love pizza. I can say that I love the truth and I love my car. These are not exactly the same thing. So what is love? And how does it affect this thing that we call abundance? Love is best understood by a story, a scripture, that we'll share in just a second. It's one that you know very well. You may not know that you know it, but how many times have you been to a wedding when the officiant, in the midst of the wedding, started talking about love is patient, love is kind? Yeah, remember that? Sure. That happens to be in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it's called, actually, Paul's love letter. And what it does is something very, very special. Let me share it with you first. Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. This is the part we recognize. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It goes on. If a couple can live that in a marriage, they're going to do quite well. They're going to do quite well. If we could understand the power of those few lines, I assure you that we will prosper. We will understand the riches that are ours. So, this particular phrase has been called the summum bonum, which is the supreme good. have here one of those, I call them dangly things. You know, they hold, they're on those old light fixtures, the little prisms. And when the light hits them just right, something wonderful happens. That pure white light is broken down into the elemental colors that we all learned when we were in elementary school. Do you remember what they are? Roy B. Biv, that's it. Yep, those are the letters. And that's what Paul does. Paul takes the light of love, passes it through his inspired intellect, and comes up with these things: patience, kindness. So we'll look at a couple of these. He said, love is patient. And from the patience portion, I'm going to share with you a longer piece of poetry that's an absolute favorite of mine. And the first four lines become our spiritual practice for this week. John Burroughs, whose life bridged the Victorian and Edwardian eras of this country, wrote a thing called Waiting. And it says this: serene I fold my hands and wait, nor care for wind, nor tide, nor sea. I rave no more against time or fate, for lo, my own shall come to me. I stay my haste, I make delays, for what avails this eager pace? I stand amid eternal ways, and what is mine shall know my face. Asleep, awake, by night or day, the friends I seek are seeking me. No wind can drive my bark away, nor change the tide of destiny. What matters if I stand alone? I wait with joy the coming years. My heart shall reap where it is sown and garner up its true tears. The water knows its own and draws the brook that springs in yonder height. So flows with good the equal law unto the soul of pure delight. The stars come nightly to the sky, the tidal wave unto the sea, nor time, nor space, nor deep, nor high, can keep my own away from me. We can become patient with the activity of spirit that's moving through us. Nothing can keep our good from us. Nothing can keep our abundance away, because our own shall come to us. Our good knows our face. We're invited to step into that. And so love is patient. Paul says love is kind. The Dalai Lama has said kindness is my religion, my whole religion. We might take note of such a statement. Love envieth not. What's the opposite of envy? Generosity. Many years ago, I wrote what I call the prosperity chant. Working with the music director in a church that I serve, we put this together because we had a chant choir where members of the congregation who didn't think they knew how to sing could come up and chant. It was really great. Here's what I wrote. I said, this is a prosperity chant. It's, as I give, I receive. As I give, I receive. As I live, I believe. As I live, I believe. As I give, I receive. And what that is an affirmation of the law of life. It is the practice and proving of that law. There is a piece of scripture that some ministers talk about and others are afraid to, because it talks about the word tithing, and that shakes people up sometimes. It comes from the book of Malachi, and he says to essentially bring the tithes into the storehouse and see if I won't pour out a blessing so great, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great that you can't receive it. That's a lot of good, and that's a lot of promise. And so the next step in this generosity piece is, I can be what I see. I can be what I see. From all lack, I'm now free. So that's the process that we engage in. It's the personal prophecy. It's the proclaiming what life is. So it's a personal, prophetic, visionary way of living. And it's a practice of the process. And then the chant goes back to the beginning again, which sounds kind of, why would you do that? You know, as I give, I receive, as I live, I believe, as I live, I believe, as I give, I receive, I receive, I receive. Why? Because the growth in consciousness is a continuous process. We go on and continue to do this spiritual unfoldment until the process is complete in each of us. And that happens at different times for each of us. Well, Paul goes on to talk about this, and he says that love does not behave unseemly. Kind of strange language. But what he really says is, love is courteous. Love is courteous. I think we live today in a fast-paced society where we've been able to say that common courtesy isn't common anymore because we're rushing from place to place. Our friend John Burroughs, in our spiritual practice, said, you don't need to do that. Slowing down allows it all to work. I grew up at a time where a young man was taught to be a gentleman. And there were certain things we did. We held the door for a lady. And I found myself on crutches, and I found ladies holding the door for me. But kindness is not gender-based. It's a human trait that's so important to our development and spiritual consciousness. Love doesn't seek its own. It is unselfish. It is unselfish. Now, we might say, well, you already talked about that when you said generosity. But it's not the same thing. You know, Charles Fillmore suggested, and I'm going to paraphrase him greatly here, he suggested that when you're going through a challenge and you can't find an answer, the thing to do is to take your mind off your problem, your challenge, and try to be a blessing to someone else. And the moment you begin to do that, something magical, wonderful, spiritual happens. And that is, somehow, you find that the answer that you need simply comes to you. Because love is unselfish. And you're now giving of yourself when in fact you feel a sense of need. And Charles Ashley said, and sometimes the need itself just disappears. So, Paul goes on to say, love thinketh not evil. So what does love do? It's what we've been taught for years in the Unity Movement. Love holds the highest thought of good for people, circumstances, and situations. You want to shorten that down to something that you know so well, you would simply say, I behold the Christ in you. Hear the life of God I see. Thinketh no evil. You know, it's appropriate to lock into a prosperity prayer. I'm not going to ask you to pray right now, but I want you to hear the word that Charles Fillmore wrote, and this was a prosperity prayer that he wrote. It just seems really powerful. It encompasses so much of what is necessary if we're going to live a life of love, if we're going to live a life of giving and receiving and experiencing the abundance that is ours as rich children of a loving Father. Charles Fillmore wrote, infinite wisdom guides me, divine love prospers me, and I am successful in everything I undertake. In quietness and confidence, I affirm the drawing power of divine love as my magnet of constantly increasing supply. I have unbounded faith in the omnipresent substance increasing and multiplying at my word of plenty, plenty, plenty. I trust the universal spirit of prosperity in all of my affairs. I come to God because I believe He is,
and that he is the rewarder of them that seek after him.
I give freely and fearlessly, fulfilling the law of giving and receiving.
This may sound familiar. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies this offering.
Father, I thank thee for unlimited increase in mind, money, and affairs.
That was Charles Fillmore's prosperity prayer, his prayer for abundance.
Well, the final thought for you is this. Henry Drummond, who is a writer who I read frequently because I just love his work, he wrote this. This earth is not merely a place to live in, but to see in. We are to pass through it as clairvoyants, holding the whole temporal world as a vast transparency through which the eternal shines. Now, I'm not above rewriting other people's stuff. And so I rewrote this piece this way. This earth is not merely a place to live in, but to see in. We are to pass through it as clairvoyants, holding the whole temporal world as a vast transparency through which the light of love shines. As we do that, we'll begin to break that light down into its component parts, as Paul did in his inspired essay. So the truth is this. The love of God that shines through all creation, which heals and prospers, is the abundance that we innately desire and we deserve as rich children of a loving Father, heirs to a kingdom of good here and now. This truly is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. God bless you. I love you each and every one.